Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Welcome everyone to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, and today we have a great lineup with us. We're talking about Nerdic. Our guest that's with us, he knows a couple of our funny guys at MassMEP like to make fun of the Nerdic name. And I say, actually, it's a very serious subject that we like to talk about. But Nerdic, for those of you that have never heard of it before, it's the New England Regional Defense Industry Collaboration. And our guest with us today is Ron Angelo. He is with the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology, or they also what they like to be called as is CCAT. We in this industry, anything, we love to go with the shortened versions the best that we can, because we love really long names, but we don't like to say them over and over again. So welcome, Ron, to joining us this morning.
Haley, it's great being here. Thank you for having me on, and certainly the MassMEP podcast. These are exciting times for the things that we're working on regarding technology and adoption, and to be able to speak with you today is it's a great pleasure.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're here. So I'm going to ask you, I was digging with a personal question. When you were younger and, you know, beginning your career, did you ever think you'd be doing something quite along these lines?
That's a great question, Haley. And the answer to that is no, because I'm a finance guy. So it's a tremendous honor every day to come in here, as with many of the great organizations throughout the Northeast, and working with incredible engineering and technical talent all across the board. Some very experienced, and then you have that mix of the younger folks coming out of college. And for me, it's just, you know, I learn every single day. I'm like a sponge, and it amazes me the type of work that these young people do. So I've known about CCAT for many, many years. We're in our 18th year. So I did a lot of work with CCAT on the outside, kind of looking in. And back at the end of 2018, when I was asked to assume the role of president and CEO and lead this organization, it was like, wow, this is going to be really cool. So it's been great. But no, I did not think I'd be in this role when I was young.
It's funny you say that, because I ask that question a lot of people that are in certain positions. So I'm sure I don't know if you know Ben Sosny at the BIC, the Berkshire Innovation Center. His previous life was an attorney. He was in that field, and I asked him the same question. He laughed too. And he's like, no, and noted none of my friends did either. So it is really interesting how parallel a lot of our paths are in getting into these positions. So it's kind of neat to let people know where you come from. I wonder if there's something about being in finance and the law that gets you to a point where you go, oh, I think I need a change.
Well, you know, it's actually an interesting point, because these Berkshire Innovation Center, by the way, is a great partner of CCATS as we run and administer this New England-wide Nerdic program. But they're businesses, you know, at the end of the day, and they have to be sustained. So, you know, they're not kind of your typical 501c3, you know, nonprofit. You've got assets, and you've got huge technical capabilities, and they do have to be run as sustainable businesses. So it's nice to have a mix of talent in these organizations.
Yeah, it is really, it's really good. So let's talk a little bit about Nerdic. Can you give us a brief overview? Because if there are a lot of people out there, we're really starting to push it from the MassMEP side and get the message out to our audience, the manufacturers in Massachusetts. But if you, from your perspective, give them a better overview of what it actually is.
Well, Nerdic, as you said, the New England Regional Defense Industry Collaboration, the name in itself is very meaningful, because though there are probably some levels of collaboration that go on around New England, this is the only one that I'm aware of that is really focusing on the defense community, the entire supply chain. And when you look at the technical capabilities of this region, we now have the opportunity to bring these tremendous assets together, whether they're the innovation centers, whether they're community colleges, the universities, certainly the governmental entities from each state, and the big folks in the room, Raytheon's, General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin. When you look at New England, we should be able to compete with any region anywhere in the world. We have the absolute most brain power here. We have an incredible mix of companies. And Nerdic now is that entity that is now saying, look, at your defense supply chain all throughout New England and all these different capabilities, let's get all of these resources together and let's really finally start addressing this ecosystem and a New England-wide level. So we're not going at it just state by state. We're saying, look at the powerhouse that we are when we come together. And really, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 4 or 5. And that's what we're looking to do with Nerdic. But it was an organization that really that came together through a Department of Defense grant. This one in particular is being administered out of the state of Vermont. And for CCAT, Nerdic is actually new to us. You know, when it was like at the end of last year, going into the fall, we're like, okay, look at how is all this developing? And look at this organization, look at the folks at the table. And that really got CCAT's interest, because in our 18th year now, we've been administering state and federal and actually national domestic programs for many, many years. So the ability to kind of get involved in this was really exciting. And the team here is just really engaged and some great work that's some already accomplished and a lot more ahead of us.
Yeah. So then how was the program developed then? Has it been around for a little while?
So no, this particular program, and I have to give tons of credit really to the Nerdic Steering Committee. There are representatives from each of the states on the steering committee. You also have the manufacturing extension programs, the MEPs, like Mass, all at the table. And CCAT, we really had to sit back for probably a couple months and listen to what everybody wants. The organization that I'm running and responsible for, it has to be industry driven and industry led. So it wasn't about, I'd love to take credit, like, hey, we did a great job developing this program, but it was not all. It was really a great team effort. And having the Nerdic Steering Committee, the MEPs, and the folks at the table saying, let's develop this program. As we know, we're all trying to address this big elephant in the room called Industry 4.0. It's like, wow, what is all this? How do I start understanding it? And if I'm interested in something, what does it mean to my company? How do I figure all this out? And that's the journey we're on.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's where we come in and getting the message to our manufacturers and helping them, you know, who should participate, why they should participate, how they get involved. It's even to the basic thing of, you know, is this something that we can even financially commit to and do? And so we have these opportunities like this where it may be a small investment at the beginning versus not making that investment. And then something happening down the road and it causes them so much more financial issues. And we've seen it. We've seen that happen. So if you've already done two webinars, correct? Yep. And there's four more coming up. So if somebody comes to one of these webinars and you can kind of dig into the next four that are coming up, what should they expect or what would be some takeaways they'll get from these webinars?
Well, the webinars, I have to give great credit to the technical team. If those people that do join the webinar, they're going to be listening to people a lot smarter than me, which is great. I mean, you're listening to great engineering talent and expertise. And again, the other partners like Berkshire Innovation Center. But they're going to come. There's a host of different ones: artificial intelligence, model-based definition, additive manufacturing, automation. We looked at the industry around New England and said, look, out of all these Industry 4.0 technologies, we can't be something to everyone. So let's try to find the four or five that really line up the best across the industry. So we looked at that first, but they can expect a really nice introduction to the technology that's being presented. And it's a very nice overview. We've had good response and good follow-up. But the important thing is that next step, those companies that get that aha moment and now say, okay, what do I do next? Well, following on the workshops that we have here are actually demonstration projects. So you talked a little bit about, you know, there could be some costs, there could be some commitments the company has to make. Well, companies that are interested, we can do demonstration projects without a cost to them and show them, hey, if you're interested in additive, we want to actually build an additive part for you. We want to show you how artificial intelligence or model-based definition works right within your business. So we're going to be selecting companies that are interested in doing projects following on each of those webinars, each of those workshops. So they can expect to hear from very capable, competent people. They can expect to hear things that industry has asked us to present. So we know it's relevant to industry. And then that kind of follow-up, the next steps that we take to engage them, you know, throughout the year.
Right. So are there certain people that, you know, can this pretty much cover anybody, correct, in manufacturing?
Well, this is a for defense supply chain. So this is specific to that. Right. So there are some parameters on around that. The guideline typically is about 10% of a company's business needs to be defense related. And that term alone, related, has a, you know, kind of some gray areas to it.
Yeah.
But we're also interested in companies that are want to be or get into being a defense contractor. So we don't want to exclude people. So any type of company that sees these, if for instance, your big network you have through the MEP network, they can come on the webinars and the workshop. They can listen in and listen to the great things. But when we get to where we have to actually do the demonstration projects, those parameters get a little bit tighter around defense contractors.
Yeah, we do a lot of, we talked about this a little bit. We do a lot of the CMMC. We do the podcasts on it. We do a lot of webinars on it. And we, you know, we've let people know that they're along those lines. If you're in that supply chain to the DOD, and you could be a one or two man show, or you could be a 100, 200, or 1000 to 2000, you still want, this is extremely important and relevant to what you're doing every day with all these new parameters that are going on. You kind of, you know, you made a statement also as well at the beginning, before we got started, about, you know, innovation, where it's headed, and, you know, what some of these, you may want to just, I think if anything right now during this pandemic, a lot of these companies did say, because we did have to find a way to pivot as, you know, a whole and say, how are we going to do things? So it maybe changed their perspective on things. So maybe this is something they go and they see what's available out there. They might find it may be a fit for them that they have never even considered before. So this is a great opportunity, and it's the investment of taking an hour of your time sitting through and watching, you know, listening to these webinars and then reaching out. It's really crucial to some of these. And that's where we try to push a lot of our manufacturers and say, we get a lot of, do you get a lot of kickback, or a lot of people kind of like, oh, I'm not really sure. Have you seen that a lot? Or are you seeing really more with kind of open arms? Like, yes, we want to learn more about this.
Well, it certainly is a mix. You know, in all of your points, Haley, are so important, what you just stated. These companies, you know, you think of the average size company. We think of the big folks that we all know. We all know the General Dynamics and the Raytheons and such. But the average company, at least in Connecticut, the supply chain company is about 20 to 25 people.
Yeah.
You know, these are small companies. We're not dealing with, you know, yeah, you've got your couple ones with a couple hundred, but it is a little of both. But really, it is a daunting effort for them to say, look, every day they've got parts to get out that door. They've got work they have to get done. They got to keep the lights on. They've got to make payroll. How do they now say, boy, I've got to, even if it doesn't cost me much, or some of these things, these programs are free, or there's even grants associated with some of them, it still comes down to resource. How do they take one of their best people that's obviously very meaningful to a 20 or so person operation, say, I'm going to commit this person for the next year through digital transformation or something. But if you don't do it, you talked about the technology advancements and innovation. If you don't do it, there can be a very big price to pay now. And there was a time that we could continue to kind of get by. And you think about New England, we are a higher cost area, but we had a great quality of life here. We have so many tremendous assets, but there's a cost around labor and energy and other things that are relevant to manufacturers. So the differentiator is technology.
Yeah.
You can become more competitive. You can become more efficient by utilizing these technologies. And, you know, one of the programs that we're doing is on artificial intelligence. And last year, AI was actually industry 5.0. All of a sudden, it's like, well, where'd that go? So the whole industrial revolutions are no longer going to exist. It's just constant. You know, you won't see industry 4.0, 5.0, 6.0. It's just going to be almost a weekly, monthly, you know, evolutionary process that we're all just on this journey. We have to keep looking slightly over that hill and make sure that we're somehow taking advantage of the resources and the programs that are here to help move these smaller supply chain companies forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I know when we speak to a lot of people, they say, yeah, I've been hearing this for the last 20 years. Yeah. You know, like, is this, so do you, I mean, it sounds like it to me. It's, we're really, this is really going to be it. Like, we really are starting to move forward with this. This isn't going to be one of those, yeah. But is that also, could that also maybe be just their defense mechanism of being just like, yeah. Don't really know if I want to get into it too.
Yeah, there is. There is, I think, a bit of that. But, you know, you touched it just a moment ago. You also mentioned the pandemic and what happened. And as horrible as that the pandemic was, and in some cases still is, a lot of companies were forced to look at their operations now differently. And so this is a tremendous opportunity. It's a snapshot in time, in history. A moment that if they seize it and say, you know what, we just went through this incredibly difficult time and have had to transform our company in some way. Let's continue with this transformation. Let's not stop it. And the things around the technologies we're talking about, if you talk about, well, the MEPs are leading the way with cybersecurity and CMMC requirements. And when you talk about model-based definition, digital thread technology, those two things in particular are flow downs from the federal government to the tier ones, the OEMs, and into the supply chain. There is not an option to say, I don't want to do it. You know, you can say, well, I don't want to automate this line right now. Okay. You know, as long as you're meeting the price point for that part and your customer is okay with that. But when it comes to those two things, that's not going to be an option. You know, that these requirements, 2024, 2025, companies are going to have to be CMMC certified, and they're going to have to be model-based definition or MBD, you know, capable. And, okay. And those two things are really not going to be an option to them. So at least for those things, how do we move those critical things forward with companies?
Yeah. So is that kind of where you see this leading, like, where do you see this leading manufacturing kind of across, obviously across the US, but more specifically to us in the Northeast and to, you know, us in Massachusetts? I mean, I think you really kind of just touch on it a little bit, but is there any other avenues that you see this is going to kind of be putting us in for manufacturing in our region?
Well, you know, I think, again, if we get back to Nerdic and what we're all trying to accomplish here and the leadership that's there, it is now, again, about this ecosystem and all of us trying to kind of get that tide going up so all the boats get lifted and all the companies coming up together on it. So those companies that, you know, maybe they're a little bit reticent, they're a little bit nervous about being, how do we start bringing them along because of their peers or their colleagues are doing it and really just kind of like get the movement going. And just what we're talking about today, it has to be a consistent message over and over and over. It's not a one and done. We have to be doing this every week. And sometimes multiple times a week, having this conversation and bringing this programming. But I think we have a ways to go because I don't think we've necessarily cracked that nut and figured out, you know, are we making it as easy as possible for companies to adopt this? Are we there? I don't think we're there yet because, you know, well, we always have to do a continuous improvement, but I just don't think we see the companies engaging enough yet. So I think we all have to continue to look at our message. How are we messaging? How are we engaging the supply chain? And I take it, you know, personally responsible for that. I mean, that's a part of what we need to do. We just got to keep getting better at it. But technology advancement is probably as important to the Northeast as anywhere in the world because, again, of our cost structure and things that we've got here. We've got to utilize technology in the best ways possible to remain as competitive as possible.
Yeah. And on a personal side of things with how, what I've seen over specifically over the past year is how proud the manufacturers are, of course, in our state in Massachusetts and how competitive they can be. And so I'm going to assume it's going to be pretty much the same. And you kind of lump that Northeast together, we all come together as a whole, it's going to be hard to compete against. So we like to be a little competitive at MassMEP internally. So I think we like to use that as leverage too. So we kind of feel the same way when we talk about it. We're like, you know what, this is going to make us even the best of the best. Like, we already think we're really good, but like, this is going to be great. So it is nice to know. And I also feel like that when they talk about it, they love to know the relevancy of what's happening maybe within their own backyard. It's also happening in the same backyard, maybe just a border over, you know, in the next state, or we're all feeling that same thing. So being a part of this group is, it opens up a lot more vision and experience and tribal knowledge that gets transversed across to all the manufacturers. So I think that's kind of cool.
It is. But that, you know, you mentioned competition. It's always good because it moves you forward, it motivates you. But I would urge a lot of these companies to look at, you know, not just looking at the MEPs, but looking at the associations that are out there. So you have the Aerospace Defense Association. Yeah. They're separate and they're peer groups, and they really can kind of feed off each other. You have the Naval and Maritime Consortium that spans states. You have Synetia, you have MOLLE there doing an incredible job. These groups as well play such an important role, you know, in all of this. And you know, at the end though, it's really, We do need to come together somehow, though. There has to be a time where we're understanding what our resources are and making sure that they're all aligned appropriately, so we're leveraging them. I mean, CCAT and Berkshire Innovation Center, you know, we're in that technology provider. We've got to engage much broader audience in order to really, you know, have success, because we're only one piece of this puzzle. When you look at New England, it's a jigsaw puzzle of six pieces. When you look at the Nordic logo, for instance, you know, we all have to make sure that we're looking at these resources though, and make sure that somewhere, and hopefully that is Nordic, they're convening these groups and making sure, look, you know, let's get this overall strategy together that we can all feed into and understand where our capabilities are, but then how do we leverage that, you know, accordingly. And it's all for the benefit of the supply chain. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, move the supply chain forward.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so true. So we have four more webinars coming up. They are every Tuesday. So May 4th, May 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. They're from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., correct?
Some of them actually go to 1:30, but generally 12 to 1:30. Depending on the content.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So they're coming up. Always, you know, plenty of time to register. But we, you know, we would love to try to fill those seats up for you and get as many of our masks. We get these spreadsheets, just so you know, we do got these spreadsheets, and they show every state and how many people are registered from every state. So of course I always look right away and I go, oh, somebody has more than we do. So now I'm like, come on, mass manufacturers, let's get in there and let's get registered and show them what we're made of. So we have four left.
Program,
yeah. We'll get everybody registered and get them in there. They can go to our website at massmeep.org, or they can also go to the CCAT. It's .us, right? Yes, for your website. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's CCAT.us at their website too. And then go under their programs and you'll see the Nordic program and you can go in there. They've got a lot of other great stuff in there as well too. So, but yeah, is there anything else, Ron, that you think that would be really good to get out for the audience today? Or,
you know, I think we touched on, I mean, this, the Nordic program is just, you know, it's going now, it's going full steam. We took a little time getting it up and running, but, you know, again, this is about something that we're building throughout the Northeast to be sustainable. This isn't one program. This is an organization that you can actually go on their website now. I believe they have got a website set up, but you can actually look at the program and what they're doing and what's next. You know, not just about technology adoption and the programs, but now let's talk about workforce. Now, well, we're not going to talk about that today because that'll be another hour, but you know, workforce, education, career readiness. I mean, the topics are huge, but even if we just keep it at two or three, you know, those are going to, the most important thing, obviously, the education and the workforce, career readiness and technology adoption. If you leave it at that, we're going to do some great things if we can focus on that and bring the supply chain along with it.
That's great. So we definitely will have to get together again, and we probably will talk about that, because that's a real hot topic right now, is that workforce and bridging, you know, that age gap that we all have right now in manufacturing. So that's extremely important to us and to our manufacturers. We do hear that significantly. It's probably a daily topic that comes up, you know, what we can do. So we'll definitely have you back on that for that too. But yeah, so we want everybody to go sign up. I want to thank Ron for joining us today. This is a great podcast. I'm super excited. This is going to be our fastest turnaround ever on this one. So we're going to get it out. But yeah, thanks for taking your time out to be with us today. So, and thanks to the audience. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see everyone soon.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, transforming manufacturing enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.